Coming up, Flames at 5, the East-West Hot Stove. Lanny McDonald will join us as well. But right now, it is our daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. The Flames come off a 2-1 victory in Dallas. They've won 4 straight. They have won 9 of their past 13 games. Today, if you picked up and printed off a copy of the statistics package from the National Hockey League, which I did, you'll find them 3rd place in the Pacific Division. You'll find them with the 2nd-best road record in the National Hockey League. I'm Rob, he's Pat. Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, joins us. And, Derek, I'm counting on you to bring a little sunshine to this party because I don't want to be Debbie Downer in all of this, but I do find, based on games in hand, that where the Flames find themselves a little bit misleading. That you know, that they've got to keep pushing ahead. Like, they've got to keep being desperate here because they need to keep building and get back into this. Because once those games start getting played out and everybody else catches up to them, you'd hate to be falling behind again.
Yeah, I mean, it is certainly misleading, Rob. But for me, it's both a good thing and a bad thing. And it's a good thing because they've gone through the most grueling part of their schedule. I mean, 6 games and 9 nights on the road with a bunch of travel mixed in there. And they've played more games than any team in the National Hockey League. They've played 5 more games than some teams in the NHL. Yeah. So that's the good part of it. They've got that tough part of the schedule out of the way, and they've kept their head above water, a game above 500 in the win-loss column. The bad part, as you mentioned, they've played more games than everybody else in the league. So, yes, they're 3rd in the Pacific Division, but that is certainly at least a little bit misleading.
I think that the most... The most accurate way of portraying this was what Glenn Gullitson said following the game yesterday. And I thought that it was important for him to say that. He was asked about getting above 500. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, it's good. Now we're on even footing. Now we've got a little bit of breathing room. Now we've kind of got our head above water. But you don't make the playoffs by treading water in this league, right? You make the playoffs by being significantly above the 500 mark. So If you're the Flames, Derek, I think it absolutely is an accomplishment that you've been able to win 9 of 13 and get yourself back into the playoff mix. But as we talked about yesterday, okay, that's great, but it doesn't stop here. If you all of a sudden let off the gas pedal or take a deep breath, you can fall out of this thing, and that's what they're trying to guard against.
No, you're absolutely right, Pat, and they've got to keep their foot on the gas pedal. As a matter of fact, what this has allowed the coaching staff to do is put the pedal to the metal, so to speak, because the guys are feeling really good about themselves right now, as they should. They played really well without Johnny Gaudreau, going 6-3-1. They are 2-0 since they got their best offensive player back. So there's a lot to be excited about if you're inside that Flames dressing room. But because the guys are feeling confident right now, because they've got their swagger back, that allows the coaches to crack the whip a little bit, because you don't want to beat already beaten down players down even further. So when the team was struggling, the coaching staff had to be very, very careful not to really get on them, because he didn't want to take whatever confidence they had left away from them. But now that they've got a lot of confidence, well, you can start nitpicking a little bit and really trying to get the guys to where they need to be. And there are still some areas where this team's going to have to improve, and this is a great time for the coaching staff to send that message to their players.
Derek, we talked about this a little earlier today, and I think you can reflect upon last year that this – although it's been a good run, I think nobody would argue 9 wins in 13 games, that's a great run. I don't get the sense, and who knows, maybe I'll be proven wrong, that they've used up a lot of capital to get to this. I mean, we've seen this team in the past, many teams in the past, just work their tails off to get back into something, finally get back there, and then have nothing left. Do you get that sense? I mean, is there a comparison to last year for you?
There is a comparison, and the comparison is that last year, they were so far back, they really had to kill themselves just to get back into the hunt. And then they seemed to have nothing left. And I think the best example last season has to be that 11-game home winning streak. Set a new franchise record. And at the end of it, they were right back in the hunt. But I think they kind of emptied their gas tanks getting there. This year, I don't get the sense that's the case. So many guys were underperforming at the start of the season. Their best players weren't their best players for a long, long time. And they lost Johnny Gaudreau when he had started to turn the corner. But, you know, now their best players are their best players in a lot of cases. Not all cases. I think TJ Brody's got some room for growth, and he's not the only one. But you look at Johnny Gaudreau, he's been great in 2 games since coming back. Sean Monahan's got a 5-game point streak. He's starting to look like his old self. Mark Giordano and Dougie Hamilton in the back end have played really, really well as a pairing. So I think this is maybe a better read on or better reflection, I think is the right word, of what the Calgary Flames actually are this season. Not as bad as they were early, maybe not as good as they've been lately, but I think they're closer to the team we're seeing now than the team we were seeing back then.
To me, and it is, it has been the most frequent topic during this 13-game run, but the most positive thing that has come from this 13-game run and the biggest reason why they've been allowed and able to go on this 13-game run is Chad Johnson.
Yeah.
Because not only has he given them .946 save percentage goaltending over the last 11 starts in these 13 games, like you get .946 over 11 starts, you're going to win a lot of those 11 games, and they've gotten that. But it's not just that, Derek. He has been the biggest reason because of what he's done between the pipes, but he's also been the biggest reason because of the confidence that has exuded from him and how it's been contagious. They play differently in front of him now than we've seen them play in a long, long time. You go back to the beginning of this season, you go back to a lot of times last year, basically other than that 2.5 month stretch when Kari Rommel was playing really well last year, they're not making those mistakes that come from gripping so tightly and being so worried about if you make a mistake, then it ends up in the back of your net. Right now, they're playing a much looser, confident brand of hockey, knowing that mistakes are going to happen. They happen with every team every single night. But when those mistakes are made, it's not going to end up in the top corner or squeaking through. There's going to be a stop there from Chad Johnson. And yeah, okay, the one goal he let in last night, he might want back slightly, but he made four or five other pretty important saves last night on breakdowns that you know that you can make a breakdown every once in a while, and he's going to be there to bail you out. I think it is translated in so many ways. And he has almost single-handedly, for a number of different reasons, salvaged this team's season.
Well, he's no doubt been their most valuable player this season. As a matter of fact, you could probably make an argument that he should be in the conversation for the Hart Trophy right now with what he has done to get these guys turned around, because he wasn't their number one goaltender at the start of the year. But now he clearly is, at least for now. And he's really picked up the team when they needed someone to put them on their back. And Chad Johnson did that, and he got them through a tough stretch of games when they weren't playing that well, when they didn't have a lot of confidence. But in large part because of him, now this is a team full of confidence. And last night was great because he let a bad one in, and I think he'd be the first guy to tell you that. So what happened? The team picked him up. And how many times has he picked the team up? So it was good to kind of see it go the other way, at least for a moment last night. But yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with you, Pat. He has been the MVP of this hockey team. He's the main reason why they are where they are right now, but he's not the only one. Because of what he did earlier, now the team is playing a lot better in front of him.
I want to ask about a guy who's really become offensively more obvious to me lately. And I have no problem saying to you early on in the season, I just looked at him and I wondered why he was playing. He has played every game this year. There were many that I thought he should have come out. He didn't. I didn't understand why he was here in the preseason. But I have come a long way on Alex Chiasson. Who and what is Alex Chiasson for this team, Derek?
He is a player that Glenn Gullitson trusts. He trusts him to make the simple plays, to get pucks in, to get pucks out. And he thinks that underneath the surface of a guy who, on a lot of nights earlier in the season, looked like a third or fourth liner, that there is more offensive ability there. And Glenn Gullitson really believes that sooner or later he's going to be able to squeeze that out of Alex Chiasson. And I think we've seen it of late. If I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, but I think he's got 7 points in his last 7 games. And he's also a player who has the ability to play with better players. So to play with a Sean Monahan and a Chris Versteeg. So, you know, he's a guy who's been really, really good for the Flames, especially of late. And, you know, he's a big body. He can get in there in the forecheck and be effective that way. And for me, whatever goals, assists, and points he gets, they're kind of just a bonus as long as he's playing a good, simple hockey game and taking care of things defensively.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a I'm trying to think of the right term. He's a nice, solid, middle-of-the-pack player on this team. Like, he very rarely do I think he hurts you. And I even think going back to when he was really taking the brunt of his criticism earlier in the season, when he was playing with Monahan and Gaudreau for, you know, however long it was, 7 or 8 games. even then, I didn't think he hurt the team. It wasn't like he was a great compliment for those guys. He wasn't necessarily helping the team in a huge way, but he was at the very worst, he hasn't hurt the team this year. And sometimes, you know what? He's been a passable penalty killer for him. He has fit in on the right side in a nice way in an area where they've needed depth. And I think he's just a nice, passable, effective middle six forward for this team right now. I think he probably slots best where he is right now on the right side of the third line. And Derek, what you say about him being defensively responsible, it's what Glenn Gullitson has talked about from day one. And it's what you go back during his time. I know that he had the 15 or 13 goal season with the Dallas Stars, but you take a look at the way he's been used basically his entire NHL career. He's always been a guy who has been hammered with defensive starts and has never really been given a lot of offensive high ground. And that's because when you have a player that you can trust to not hurt you defensively, you're going to use him there and use players elsewhere where maybe you don't feel you can trust them as much defensively. So I've got no problem in what Alex Chiasson has given this team so far. He's given them kind of exactly what I think that they would have hoped for when they acquired him.
Rob, playing with the right players, do you think he has the potential to be a 15 to 20 goal guy?
I mean, he's getting his opportunities. I mean, you look at him. Yeah, I mean, he'd have to go on a little bit of a run this year. Yeah, I mean, he's done it before.
He's done it once before.
I don't think he's a 20 goal scorer. But I think in this day and age, guys, we had this conversation about Joe Colburn. Why isn't Joe Colburn here anymore?
Yeah.
Joe Colburn isn't here anymore because he basically priced himself out, which is amazing to say about a guy who's making, what, $2.25 million, $2.5 million a year? But in this day and age, with guys, especially at your top end, making what they're making, you need, you know, affordable guys. And I didn't think that was Alex Chiasson. I'm looking at Alex Chiasson going now. He's valuable, not because he pushes play, not because he drives possession, but because he can go out there with good players and not be out of place, I guess.
Yeah, and Rob, further your point, he has a very friendly contract. And also, don't forget what the Flames gave up to get him. They gave up a player who will never play or was never going to play for them and will probably never play in the NHL in Patrick Seeloff. So very low acquisition cost to get Alex Chiasson, who had already proven that he was an NHLer. So you give up a guy who's probably never going to play in the league to get a guy who has played and will continue to play in the league. That's a pretty good trade-off.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. We can talk more about Arizona tomorrow, but my suspicion is we're probably going to get a good test for the Calgary Flames about playing in a vacuum. Something tells me that's not going to be a big crowd tomorrow, Derek.
And I think it's going to be a much different game than the one we saw last night. I mean, those first 40 minutes, guys, that might be the fastest pace I've seen all season. That was just a ton of fun to call. And every time we went to break, and Rob and Pat, you guys having done some play-by-play will understand where I'm coming from. I was exhausted. Every time we went to break, it was like, oh, thank God I can catch my breath and get a drink of water here. It was just a ton of fun to call that game. It had so much pace, and that is probably not what we're going to see tomorrow night. It's going to be probably a trap type of game. The Coyotes have no confidence right now. I think they've gone way too young, and they're probably a team that's going to be good 2-3 years from now, but they're not there right now. It's a bit of a banana peel game for me in that sense that at times this season, at times in the last number of seasons, the Flames have played down to their competition. They've got something really good going right now. What you don't want to do is get tripped up by the last place team in your division. So it's an important one tomorrow. We'll see if the Flames can get up for it and find a way to make it 5 in a row.
Hey, look, they're one of the worst teams in the league. If the Flames are going to get where they want to go, and that's to be a playoff team, and if they're going to want to make it difficult for the teams with all those games in hand to catch them, these are the games you got to win. You know, the game against Dallas yesterday could have gone either way, and a number of the games that they've won lately could have gone either way. And I worry a little bit about this team and all the success they've had in one-goal games because inevitably that kind of goes the other way a lot of times, but games like this, when I think clearly you're the better team, and I think most teams who play Arizona right now are clearly the better team, I think you've got to make sure you get 2 points, because you know what? Against Winnipeg, you're a whole lot closer on Saturday, and that could go either way. I think that in this one, these are the ones that you really got to bank your points in, and we saw it 2 years ago when they made the playoffs. They banked points against teams that they needed to bank points against, and I think that's crucial for the Flames where they are right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, the interesting thing tomorrow, guys, I think we're going to see at least one lineup change for the Flames. I think Lance Bowman is going to draw in tomorrow night. And my guess is Christopher Stieg probably gets the night off. He's banged up right now, and he tried to come back a couple of times last night and just couldn't do it. So I'm guessing Christopher Stieg probably doesn't play tomorrow, and Lance Boma comes back after that shoulder injury, which I think will be a good injection of energy for this group and a game that probably will need somebody to bring some energy to it. And then the other thing I wonder about, and maybe you guys can weigh in here, you go to Brian Elliott tomorrow night?
Well, we've kind of skirted around that issue. I would understand if they did, but my natural inclination is you're riding the hot hand.
Patty?
I thought you were going to add something there. I don't know. I would go to Johnson myself. He's not showing any signs of being overworked. He only faced 20 shots last night. I'd go with Johnson until you think that it's time to give him a rest. And maybe if the coaching staff believes that's tomorrow, then have at her. Just from what I've seen, and Derek, you're closer to it, but from what I've seen, it doesn't look like he's showing any signs of being fatigued, and especially after last night where he didn't face a massive workload. I guess he started to face 30 shots last night, but still didn't face a massive workload. I'd go right back with him against Arizona on Thursday night.
Yeah, and I'm kind of on the fence on this one. It wouldn't really surprise me if he went right back to Johnson and just keeps riding the hot hand. Wouldn't surprise me if you went to Elliott with the schedule coming up. I think this is probably the best game if you want to get Elliott in for one in the next little while to put him in for. Played pretty well against the Islanders in Brooklyn in the final game of that road trip. Didn't get the win, but helped him pick up a point in a 2-1 overtime loss. So you know, sooner or later, Brian Elliott is going to get another win. He's lost 7 in a row, so I think tomorrow's game would be a good opportunity for him to kind of get back on track and give Johnson a break. And you know what, Pat, to your point, I'm not sure he really needs one right now. It was an off day for the team today, so good chance to get a little R&R and get ready for tomorrow night's game. So anxious to see what the head coach decides to do with this one. And again, something you said earlier I think is certainly true. The team, for whatever reason, has played better in front of Johnson yep. than they have in front of Elliott. So if you want to keep this thing going, maybe you go right back to Chad Johnson tomorrow.
Well, if he doesn't, then we got something to talk about and lead off with the daily roundtable tomorrow. Derek, we'll let you go. Enjoy them all.
I will. I got to get some more Christmas shopping done here, guys.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Sorry to bother you.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
That's all right. I'm just going to enjoy the sun. You guys stay warm.
Yeah, we'll stay warm. Thanks, Derek.
All right, bye.